So this is the first in a homily series on waiting. While Advent is the typical time that we have in the church year for waiting, waiting is a part of life. It's not just one time a year. It's year round. The reason for the series is that I'm personally struggling with waiting. As your pastor, I've shared with you my vision for the parish, that all parishioners of St. Teresa would be just secure in the Father's love, would know radical connection in the body of Christ, and know that they are gifted by the Holy Spirit. As I've shared before, though, I don't feel I can consider any questions about parish buildings like a new hall, because I'm waiting for direction from the diocese about future pastoral decisions, as we are still in the biggest stretch of retirements in our diocese history. Because of this, my vision is focused on spiritual growth, which there's a lot to do in that. But it's hard to grow ministries in the parish if we can't have conversations about the future of our facilities. So in this struggle, I've been praying with stories in the Bible that there were struggles with waiting. And so I want to share my prayer with you. So the first 2 weeks of the series, I want to look at stories in the Bible where people don't wait well and the results from that. The first is, today is waiting for direction. Next week, the theme is waiting for love. Okay. And so the first week, I'm going to look at a story related to the first reading. And the first reading is from the book of Deuteronomy, and that's the period of Moses with the people in the desert, journeying from freedom from Egypt, Exodus, to the promised land, which starts in the book of Joshua. But the first five books of the Bible, a big part of that is the journey of God's people in the desert. They're in the desert for 40 years. Why? Well, part of it is because of their lack of trust of God. They got set free from Egypt. God did amazing miracles and showed his power to save. But yet, when they're on the threshold of the promised land, they get a report of the strength of the people, and they lose heart. And they say, these people will destroy us. They completely forget all that God has done to the mighty armies of Egypt. And they lose trust in God. And God says, all right, we're going to have to spend a lot more time together for you to trust me. And so they spend those 40 years so that God can provide for them. And they can depend on God for water, for miraculous food, manna for miraculous food, the quail. Okay. So, but before they start this 40 years, they receive God's direction from Mount Sinai. But in that waiting period, while Moses goes up Mount Sinai to receive the direction, that is the Ten Commandments and other guidance, they can't wait. They lose heart. And what we have is the golden calf incident. Okay, so three questions. What does the golden calf have to do with waiting? What does it have to do with us? And what does it have to do with today's gospel? Three questions. All right, so first, what does the golden calf have to do with waiting? How many know more or less what the golden calf is about in the Bible? Show of hands. Okay, a few of you. Yeah, a good bit of y'all. Okay. So you understand, just for those who don't, basic premise is that the people are waiting Moses. He's up on the mountain talking to God for 40 days. And they kind of, again, lose heart, like, where's Moses? Where's Moses? Day 15, where's Moses? Day 25, where's Moses? And so what they do is they come up with a plan. They say, all right, we're tired of waiting. Let's do something. They decide, let's make a golden calf. Let's worship it. Now let's have a feast. Now, their intentions are good. They say, they point to the calf and say, this is the God who set us free. But you can see how contrary their intentions are actually to God's plan. Because what happens is they descend into a crazy party-like atmosphere. And so they add to the sin of idolatry, the sins of the flesh. And so what happens, Moses comes down the mountain with the Ten Commandments, the guidance of God. And he's so disheartened, he throws them down, they break. And so, the golden calf idol is destroyed, and the disastrous result is that ritual worship is restricted to a small segment of the 12 tribes of Israel. God's original intention was that they would be a nation of priests. But what happens is they can't wait, and they take advantage of the gift of worship. And they worship falsely an idol, and they worship falsely pleasure. And so for the time between Moses and until Jesus, when universal worship is reestablished, right, through your baptism, you share in the priesthood. You can go directly to the Father by your prayer. You don't have to come to the priest. Okay, for these thousands of years, worship is restricted because God's people failed to wait. Okay. So, second question, what does this have to do with us? I think of this because here the people are. They're waiting for direction. Moses. All right. Where's Moses? Where's Moses? And they fail to wait. And they take matters in their own hands. And it's disastrous. I think of that because I don't think I'm the only one waiting for direction. I don't think I'm the only one waiting for God to kind of point a path forward. I don't think I'm the only one who struggles with waiting for a decision that's not in your hands. I think this is pretty common. But I also believe there's a temptation in that space to take matters into my own hands. And sometimes that can be disastrous, especially if it's a path of self-reliance. Now, this is a struggle because in America, you know, it's all about figuring it out, do-it-yourselfness. But when in the spiritual life, it doesn't work the same way like it does in business. All right, I'm going to share with you what I prayed with on my silent retreat. It's called the Novena of Surrender. Has anyone ever heard the Novena of Surrender by Father Delindo? Yes, 1, 2, 3. Well, good news, 5. Good news. There's going to be another homily series. Y'all giving me more ammunition. All right. So Father Delindo Rotolo, a priest of 20th century Italy, he's a humble little man, and he was so close to Jesus. Jesus gave him private revelation. Again, private revelation is not contrary to the Bible, but you don't have to believe it like the Bible. All right. So, but he received this gift of surrender prayer. Now, surrender, in the normal sense, sounds like a bad word, right? It means you're giving up. It means like you're, oh, poor me, I'm surrendering. But surrender in the Christian frame, in the Christian life, is powerful. Because what you're saying is, God, I can't do this, but guess what? God, you can do this. I give it. I surrender this to you. All right. So listen, I'm going to share with you a couple of these prayers of surrender from Father Delindo. And just listen to that spirit that challenges our lack of waiting, right? Day 2. And these are words Jesus gave to Father Delindo. Day 2, Jesus says, surrender to me does not mean to fret, to be upset, or to lose hope. Nor does it mean offering to me a worried prayer, asking me to follow you and change your worry into prayer. It is against this surrender, deeply against it, to worry, to be nervous, and to desire to think about the consequences of anything. It is like the confusion that children feel when they ask their mother to see to their needs, and then they try to take care of those needs for themselves so that their childlike efforts get in their mother's way. Surrender means to placidly close the eyes of the soul, to turn away from thoughts of tribulation and put yourself in my care, Jesus says, so that only I act, saying, Jesus, you take care of it. From day 3, Jesus said to Father Delindo, how many things I do when the soul in so much spiritual and material need turns to me, their Lord, looks at me and says to me, Jesus, you take care of it, then closes its eyes and rests. In pain, you pray for me to act, but that I act in the way you want. You do not turn to me instead. You want me to adapt to your ideas. You are not sick people who ask the doctor to cure you, but rather sick people who tell the doctor how to. Okay. So again, this challenges the anxiety we feel when we're waiting. And then we do it ourselves and we're tired of waiting, right? So we're not going to get into all the how-tos of how to wait in just this one homily, right? That's why it's a homily series. It's going to be posted online. But it's worth asking, how are you at waiting? How are you at waiting? So finally, what does this have to do with today's gospel? Well, I think there are pretty clear overlaps between waiting and what's happening in the gospel. The story of the Good Samaritan, you know it. But you have the one who is waiting. Who is that? The man who has been robbed. He's half dead. He's waiting. Like, he can't help himself. And meanwhile, two of his fellow Jews, who are the most likely ones to help him, they avoid him. And the most unlikely candidate, a Samaritan, they were cultural enemies, similar to Jews and Muslims, unfortunately, in the Middle East right now. But there's a Samaritan who went down and helped this man, risking his life, right? So there's the waiting of the Samaritan. I think I would relate that to our congregation. I believe there are people here who are waiting for that spiritual kind of healing, for that spiritual cure. And perhaps God wants to send to them one of their fellow members, but they just walk by. So I think there's that kind of waiting, the waiting of individuals here. But there's also that waiting we have, again, of the culture differences, the Samaritans and the Jews, they didn't get along. And this is what I've been inviting our parish to consider. It's for us to put belonging first. You know, traditionally, when we grew up in the Catholic faith, it wasn't belonging that was the first thing you learned about. It was behave and then believe. Oh, and then you get to belong. But as I've shared before, that doesn't work with today's generation. You got to put belonging first. Can we be a congregation that puts belonging first to someone who may not feel like my neighbor, someone who's very different from me, different politically from me, someone who's different, you know, speaks a different language than me, someone who has a different skin color than me, someone who's just very different in any other way, someone who identifies as gay or trans? Can we offer belonging to that one who may feel like an outsider and who may feel just so culturally different? So I think there's a waiting there as well. And the final waiting from the gospel is, who will be that Samaritan? Who will be the one to go out? Who will be the one to go out? Recognizing first, it's not you and I who are the first to be the Good Samaritan. Jesus was the first Good Samaritan. He came down to us. He came down to us. He risked his life. He gave his life to save us. So we first need to receive that healing love of Jesus for us to be empowered to go out to our neighbor. Okay. So it's just worth asking, how are you doing with waiting? Just something to pray with at this Mass. Is there someone in your life that is struggling with waiting? Have you struggled recently with waiting? Or perhaps it's the Lord waiting for you to give your yes, to step out in faith, as you have received his great love, to show that love to your neighbor. So let us pray that in this Mass, that we may just know of the Lord's patient love for his people, that he is waiting for you and for me to turn our hearts to him, to know this amazing love that changes lives, so that we may share his love with others. Amen.